Good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer and your long weekend. It's like the one August long weekend. It's nice. It's so good that so many of you made it. So good to see you all. If we haven't met, my name's Tim. I'm one of our English pastors here at ECAC. And today we're excited to continue on in our series that we've been working on kind of through the summer, this very personal and emotional letter written by the Apostle Paul. And we're excited to continue on in 1 Thessalonians, and today we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to do the whole chapter today, but it's not too much, don't worry, I know it's summer, so we want to keep it a little bit light, but chapter 3, we're going to be working through this chapter, and really what's happening in chapter 3, to give you some context of what's going on with this letter, is Paul, he and his friends Silas and Timothy, they planted a church, the Thessalonians, and then there was persecution. They had to leave really quickly. And Paul is kind of telling this story. He's telling a story of what happened before he wrote this letter when they had to leave this church really quickly. Because they left this church and they had to go like south to southern Greece. And basically, they were really, really worried about this church while they were in Athens. And they were so worried, and they were thinking, this is a brand new church. Like, they just told these people about Jesus, and they don't have a pastor. They don't have any resources. They don't have anything. So understandably, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, these three missionaries who are working around modern-day Greece, they're kind of worried about this church because they have no support. So that's who they're writing to in this letter that we're working on. So basically, Paul is just telling that story about when they're worried and what they do about it. So I'm hoping we can look at this and really kind of take some practical takeaways. How does Paul view community and the church? And how does he do that? And I'm hoping we can take some practical things away from Paul's lessons on how we can live in community, on how we can love one another and be there for one another in different ways. So we're just going to kind of read through this chapter, read through this story in three different parts. There's kind of three natural parts. So we'll do it like that here today. So I'll start us off. 1 Thessalonians 3, it says this. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. The word of the Lord. So Paul is just kind of telling this story. They're really worried about this church. They're worried that they've been tempted. Like, obviously, they're fresh. They're brand new Christians. He doesn't know if they're going to stay committed to Jesus. He doesn't know if their work is going to be done in vain, if they're just going to fall away from their faith. He knows that they're being persecuted. That's why Paul and Silas and Timothy had to leave this city really quickly. There was a lot of persecution, and that would not be easy on a brand new Christian, of course. So they're very worried. So what do? They send one of the co-workers, Timothy, to go check up on them. We don't exactly know why, but for some reason we're told that Paul and Silas, they can't go visit for some reason, but Timothy can get through to them. So Timothy goes and meets with this church, and we're going to look at that in a second, but really sending Timothy away is a great personal sacrifice for Paul. If you know about the relationship between Paul and Timothy, Timothy's kind of Paul's spiritual son, in a sense. They're very close to one another. And of course, Paul here is talking about the church that is facing persecution, but we need to remember Paul and Silas and Timothy are also facing persecution. They're having a really hard time, actually. It's a difficult season for them as they try to spread the name of Jesus. The government does not like that they're doing that. They're being persecuted in different ways. So Paul is sending away his spiritual son, who is there to encourage him, to comfort him, to be there for him. This is a great personal sacrifice of Paul. He's sending away Timothy, and why is he doing it? Because he loves the Thessalonian church so much that he's willing to go through more hardship and more pain because he loves them so much. He cares so much about them. And he uses very strong language here where he says, left by ourselves. It's kind of literally like we were left without anything when we sent Timothy to you. but it's worth it because he loves this church so much. Paul is teaching us so much about what it means to love one another in the church, that even though he is going through his own suffering, he's desperate to help his friends. He's desperate to be there for this church that he knows about. And we find some specific ways that he wants them to be cared for by Timothy. So first, he says he wants Timothy to strengthen and encourage their faith. To strengthen and encourage their faith. And then he says, because we want to find out about your faith. Find out about your faith. Like, that's kind of the first thing. He's curious. Because obviously there's a big distance between them. How are you doing? How are you doing? He wants to check in on them. He's worried about them. He's curious. How are you doing? Have you fallen away from Jesus? He wants to check in with them. He is so invested in this church's life. Even though he's far away from them, he has not forsaken them, but he deeply, deeply cares. And he also sends Timothy, as we read, to strengthen and encourage the faith of the believers in this church, to help them to grow closer to God, to help them to know God more, so that even in this time of suffering and persecution that they're going through, they can last, they can be strengthened, they can be encouraged. So practically, as I read this, I think it gives us practical insight into what it looks like to be a community of believers, a community of love, and practically how we can embody the gospel, the love of God, when things are difficult. When we know that someone in the church or a brother and sister in Christ is going through something hard, we can learn from Paul here as we check in on one another, as we care for one another, as we simply ask one another how we're doing, as we encourage and strengthen and build up one another. This is a practical way that we can embody the gospel to those around us, to those in the church. So I ask us, when we gather together as a church, whether it's on Sundays or small group or a fellowship, whenever it may be, are we a people that are strengthening and encouraging each other in our faith? And there's practical ways we can do this, right? We could pray for one another. Obviously, like Paul here, he's just checking in. We can just check in on one another. That's really important. Asking, how are you doing? Or even asking, what is God doing in your life? What do you feel like God is showing you or teaching you right now? And we can also encourage each other to grow closer to God. It's a growth. It's not like we ever make it. It's not like we're ever done growing in our faith. But we can encourage and strengthen each other as a community of believers to grow closer to God. This church that Paul is writing to is really struggling with persecution, with a lot of bad things going on. That's why he's so worried about them. And obviously, like us today, we don't struggle with persecution in the same way as they do, but we certainly have our hard days. We all have our hard days. Even in our faith, we all have days of doubt where sometimes it's a little bit harder to have faith. Maybe it's a little harder to come to church on Sunday. I don't know what it is, but we all have our hard days. And if you look around you and maybe the people in your small group, maybe they seem really perfect, or the people sitting next to you right now, maybe they seem really perfect. But they all have really, really hard days. They have days of doubts. They have struggles. We all have these hard times. And I think what Paul is teaching us from his example is that we should and can be checking in on one another. How are one another doing? This is a way we can actually embody the gospel, making sure that one another are okay, loving one another in that way. And practically, maybe that looks like bringing a meal. Maybe that means just having a conversation or asking, can I pray over you? Or just simply encouraging somebody in their walk of faith. There's different ways we can learn from Paul in doing this. And I do want to encourage us that I look at our church and I'm so encouraged to see this happening so often in our small groups or on Sunday morning, or people just checking in on one another. And we have an amazing caring team as well, if you know about them. And they do an amazing job checking in on people. And I've been so encouraged to see our church do this, to see many, many of you embody the gospel in this way. So I urge us to continue on. To continue being this community of sacrificial love and care, where we actually are invested in one another's lives and want to check in and want to be there to encourage and strengthen each other in our walk of faith. It's such a joy to see the gospel being embodied in this way. And we can learn from Paul in this way, to be with each other when things aren't going well. Like, he is desperate to check in on this church that he knows is going through a hard time. So let's continue on in our story. So, of course, remember the tone of that. They're very worried. They're very concerned about this church. So they send out Timothy. And Timothy goes, that would have been a very long walk, actually. He goes up north into Greece to this church, the Thessalonian church. He spends some time with them. And eventually he comes back, finds Paul and Silas. I always wonder, how did they find people before phones in like a big city, right? I think that's amazing. But somehow he found Paul and Silas and he gives them a report back. So this is what it says. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. The word of the Lord. Do you catch the very big tone difference there? The first part, they're very worried and concerned about this church, and now they're really excited. They're celebrating. It's an exciting thing that Timothy comes back, and to their surprise, this very young church is actually doing really, really well. That this church, the Thessalonian church, even though they're young and they have no resources and they're going through a hard time and persecution, they're thriving. It's this surprising and amazing thing that Timothy comes back and gives them this report. So, of course, Paul, Timothy, and Silas are so, so relieved and they're so happy and they're celebrating and they're full of joy, as we can see. And the language in the Greek here is very emotional and raw, and they love this church and they're so excited. And I think this, again, practically shows us how we can embody the gospel when things are going well in the lives of those around us. That like Paul and Silas and Timothy, if we hear someone in our small group is like doing well in some way, or God is moving or bringing victory in someone's life, or God is moving in our church, we can be a people of great celebration. We can be a people of great joy and excitement where we celebrate and we are so full of worship, and we can be those kind of people. Do you hear Paul's language here, where I think it's amazing when he says, for now we really live. Now we really live. That's how excited he is. I'm fully alive now because I know that you're doing well. Because I know that Jesus is working in your midst. Because I see God at work in your life, I can really live. And he says, how can we thank God enough for you? Do you feel Paul's love for this church? And really, Paul, he's not celebrating because of anything he did, is he? Like, he was so worried because he's not with that church, because he can't pastor that church. What Paul is saying is, look at what God is doing. Like, it's a profound thing that this Thessalonian church is doing well. It really doesn't actually make sense. They were just left alone, and they were early in their faith, but God did not give up on this church. And God is doing an amazing thing in this church. Paul is not celebrating anything he has done, but he's celebrating what God has done. Look at the work God is doing. Look at the work God is doing. And I was reflecting on this, and I think sometimes when God is doing something amazing and we see God move, maybe it's in one of your lives or in the church or somebody that you know, when God moves, it's easy for us to kind of be like, that's awesome, and then move on from it quickly. And we have a short memory sometimes with these things. But I think learning from Paul here as our example, we can follow him as our example. By when we see God moving, when we see God at work, maybe bringing victory in someone's life or doing something amazing in the church, we should actually pause and we should look at it. We should actually not just move on quickly, but when God is on the move, we should pause, stop, and actually take time to look at it. Take time to see that God is doing something amazing. Take time to intentionally celebrate that God is moving in our community. God is moving in my life. God has done something amazing in my small group, whatever it may be. When we see God moving, we can pause, look at it, so that we more and more become a people of celebration and joy and worship, worshiping our God that is on the move. While I was away on vacation a couple of weeks ago, I was sad to miss it, but I heard about Arcade's breakfast. And this is one of many examples of God moving. And we had these leaders meetings where we talked about this event, and we were kind of with the leadership of David Yet. We were kind of praying about this, and we were praying boldly that God would bring volunteers and that he would bring people from our community and our city, that we could just sacrificially love them. And I heard about this amazing day that we had more volunteers than we knew what to do with, and we had over 600 people from our community, from our city, show up that we could sacrificially love and serve them. Once God does something like that, we can pause and look at it. We can pause and look that God is on the move in our community. That's something we should celebrate, that we shouldn't just move past, but we should celebrate and worship that God is moving. And I think continuously adjust our expectations and continue to expect that God will do amazing, amazing things in our midst. That the Spirit is moving in us and through us as a community. It's so exciting, and it's something to celebrate. And we can thank God that he is moving, that he is doing things that we could never imagine, and actually look and just give him all the glory as we continue to expect that he will move. As I reflect on Paul's situation, as he's writing to this church, it's very far away from him. Like, he's in this like long distance thing with this church. He can't actually be with them. And something that we're so blessed with that's different is that we are together. We're together as a community. We're not split apart in any way like Paul and the Thessalonian church, but we are actually together in person. And that makes it so much easier to be a people that celebrate one another, that encourage one another. When things are going well, when we see God moving, we can be there together and actually celebrate. When he brings victory, we can be a community together that's full of joy. As a church, we're called really to be a close community, this community of joy and love and celebration where we support one another. Obviously, when life is hard, like we talked about before, but also supporting one another and celebrating when life is going well, when God is doing amazing things. We can be this kind of community. So let's read our last little section here. It says this: "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." The word of the Lord. So I know Pastor Brandon kind of already introduced this book a lot. He introduced it well, that 1 Thessalonians, if you compare it to the other letters and books that we have from Paul in our Bible, because we have a lot of them, this one's very unique. If you, maybe you know like Paul's biggest letter, the book of Romans, it's a very brilliantly structured letter, and it's like such in-depth teaching and theology, and it teaches us so much. Or maybe you remember a few months ago we were working through the book of Colossians, and that again just has this beautiful structure, this laid out structure that tells us how Jesus is above all things and how that changes everything in our lives. And when you study 1 Thessalonians that we're looking at today, it's an interesting book because it's not very structured. It's not meant to be an in-depth or theological teaching. But this is really just Paul pouring out his heart to a people that he loves. It's a very personal, it's a very emotional letter. And like what I've been finding when you study, it's almost hard to translate it into English sometimes because it's so personal and intimate, and he really loves this church. It's not really this structured teaching, but we get insight into how much Paul loved the church. So that's really, we can learn so much about his love and how we can love one another as a church. You read that there, how he really wants to be with the people. He wants to support them. May God clear the way so that we can see each other. Like, he wants to be with them. That's his prayer. That's how much he loves them. He says, may God increase your love. It's a very personal and emotional letter. And as I read this, I'm kind of challenged and pushed and strengthened in how do we view the church? How do we approach the church? Because I love how we structure churches and how we have rhythm and there can be repetition. I think that's really important for our faith that we meet every Sunday morning and that maybe you meet your small group every week. And I think that repetition is really important for the church and for our faith. But as I read this, I'm also challenged that Paul, when he talks about the church, he's not talking about structures or programs, but he's talking about relationships that he relies on. That those structures and programs are very important and they help us to grow in our faith, that is not all that church is. That church is about relationships. It's about the people. It's not about checking a box that I made it to Sunday morning or anything like that. But it's about the relationships with people who have encountered Jesus. It's about growing together and desiring to be together as a community, as a church. So sometimes I think it can, even though the repetition is very important, I think, for our faith, it can sometimes become less meaningful as we just kind of check, I made it to small group. Check, I made it to Sunday morning. I don't know if you feel that way. Sometimes I feel that way. Like, it's just something I have every week. But by Paul here, I'm challenged to remember that church is really about the relationships, that it's so important to gather together, that we can't just isolate ourselves and hope to connect with God, but we connect with God as a community, as a fellowship, as a church. That's how we know God more. This is an amazing thing that we learn from Paul, that we don't just go to our programs or our events or anything like that to check a box, but we do it because we have a divine love for one another. And a divine love for our God who connects us together. We love each other's company because we are all transformed by Jesus. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe you're hearing that and you're hearing Paul's words here about how much he desperately loves this church. And maybe you're thinking, like I feel like I would be thinking, like, yeah, I love those in my small group or I love those around me, but like, that love that Paul describes is a little bit like greater, like it's a very extreme love. Like, he loves the church. He really, really loves the church. So I want us to look at Paul's words up here, where it's actually a prayer. He says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. So maybe as you're sitting here, you're like, yeah, that is kind of a more dramatic love than I feel. I want to encourage us that this love for one another that Paul talks about is not a natural love. It is truly a divine, a supernatural love that God gifts us with. It's actually, the word for love there is agape in the Greek, and it's not really a love that humans can naturally show, but it's something from God. And really, as he prays this, it's something that we can pray for ourselves. God, would you give me this divine love for my small group or my fellowship? God, would you give me this divine love for those sitting around me right now? Would you help me to see them the way that you see them because you love them so much? This can really transform how we pray because we're not just going to achieve this love by trying harder, but by being transformed by the love of Jesus, asking him to continue to transform us. Maybe this is something you need to pray over your small group or your fellowship. Maybe it feels a little awkward sometimes, like they all do. But we can pray this, God, would you make us a fellowship, a community of this deep, divine love? Would you transform us and change us? In John 13, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus is saying, this is how people will actually recognize you follow him, because you love the church, because you love other disciples of him. That's how you will be recognized. Our love for one another is so important. And again, I want to recognize that I've seen so many of you are very, very good at this, that you have been transformed by this love, and you encourage and challenge me to continue to seek that transformation. And I've been so encouraged to see it in this church and in our communities and our small groups. And again, I ask us to continuously pray this, that we would be transformed by this divine, miraculous love that God gives us for one another. How can we continuously shift to be a people that don't just see small group or church or our fellowships as programs, but actually as relationships. Really desire relationships. Not just to be a church that's focused on our events or programs, but focused on the people as well. Our goal as a church is not just to build this impressive church structure with the best programs or anything like that, but our goal is to be transformed by the love of Jesus. Our goal is to be a community of love that is just encountered Jesus in a very real way, and we just love to gather together to know him more. So to kind of wrap up this chapter that we've been working through, from the very beginning, when Paul knows this church he's writing to is going through struggles, I think we can apply this by knowing that as Christians, we're going to have really hard days sometimes. We're going to have dark days. We're going to have days of doubts, days where we struggle in different ways. And thankfully, we're also going to have really good days. We're going to have days where we see God doing amazing things. So I think what we can learn from Paul in this chapter is be with one another in life's ups and downs. When life is not going well for someone you know, check in on them. Care for them. Be there for one another. Encourage and strengthen one another. And when life is going really good for someone you know, celebrate with them. Be full of joy and thanksgiving and worship that God is on the move. This is what Paul models to us as he checks in on this church, as he helps them in their faith, as he sacrificially sends Timothy to this church, and as he is so full of joy and celebration when he hears this surprising good news back. So remember those around you, those sitting around you today, or in your small group, your fellowship, or at prayer meeting, wherever it may be, remember those around you in the church and check in on one another. And I'm so encouraged to remember how much Paul loved this Thessalonian church. Let's remember that, how much he desired to be with them even, how much he loved them and was curious how they're doing and just wanted to spend more time with them. And remember, this divine love is not a natural one, but it's something that we can pray for. We can ask God that he would transform us, that we would know his love more. And we can really incorporate that into our prayer lives, the prayer of the church, your individual and personal prayer lives, that you would encounter his love and be changed by his love so that you can love those around you even more. And like Paul sacrificially sent Timothy away, I encourage us as well to be a people of sacrificial love, a people that really care about the well-being of those around us, of those in the church, because of what God has done. So I want to take some time just to pray for this, to pray that God would continue to transform us and make us into this community of love that he desires. So why don't we just take a minute to pray? God, we thank you that you are love, that you are always with us, and that you desire to transform us. We pray that you would come, that you would transform us, that we would be a people of great love that doesn't even make sense, that it would be such a supernatural love, that we would be a community that loves one another and loves our city and our neighborhood, and we thank you that you are at work already. We recognize that you are on the move, and we celebrate and worship you. So we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been with us before, something we really like to do is to have some time just kind of discuss and reflect upon what we've learned, and I think it helps you to learn and just kind of apply it to your own life. So we have some discussion questions up here. Feel free to just find some people around you. If you see someone sitting alone, make sure to invite them into your group. And yeah, just feel free to discuss these three questions, and then in about 10 minutes, we'll have our worship team to come up.